Thank you for joining us at Anxiously Artistic. I am your host, Dr. Alondra, and in this podcast, we uncover traumas and anxieties that keep us from performing in the art space. And as you know, or maybe not, but I have talked about it before in this podcast as well as on my blog, that I am a beginning gardener, and I'm really trying to work on subsistence gardening, and it has been quite an adventure. But I usually use the mornings. Sometimes I'm out there at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. It just depends. And I'll spend a couple of hours before work just working on my little container garden. Well, it's not even little anymore. It has definitely grown. But I spend that time with myself, checking in with myself, checking in with God, and checking in with the earth, and looking at creation, right? And really just exploring how I feel in the moment. And it has been some phenomenal times. But ironically, I suppose, there's a lot that planting this garden has taught me about business. And I would like to share with you my little list of things that it has taught me in my gardening life, my personal life, as well as my business life. So, in no particular order, here are the things that I've learned. Things take time. Now, that's very cliche. It seems very cliche, but things do take time. You can't put a seed in the ground today and expect it to pop up in 5 minutes. This is not Jack and the Beanstalk. But the same thing is true for our business. You have to put the work in to see your efforts, but trust and believe you will. And sometimes things take more than we've anticipated for them to grow. Sometimes things take even longer than we may physically have. But you will see the fruits of your reward at some point too. Sometimes you have to start over. Now, just this morning, we're in for a pretty strong windstorm, and I noticed that, hey, I don't want to have to start over on some things, specifically my tomato plants, but there are things that I may have to, because the wind just knocked over my tomato plant and knocked about a handful of tomatoes off. It happens. Have very unpredictable weather here, at least nothing that I'm accustomed to. Same thing has happened with my business. Many of you don't know, but I actually started my business over. I originally started, I want to say, in 2011, maybe sometime after that. But either way, I switched gears about 2016, 2017, something like that, and completely went to a different direction. And I've done so in my garden as well. There have been times we have cats, they've knocked over things. Things didn't grow. They weren't growing at all. The heat was killing them, or I waterlogged them, or whatever the reasons were. I had to begin again. And I can't even tell you how many times I've began again, or even what I've began again on. Because right now, pretty near everything I have going is thriving. So it just, sometimes you have to start over, and it sucks. It really does. But in the end, you will not even realize that you started all over. And so, again, with my business, I have completely forgotten what my original business model was, unless I go back and like check. I have to do this with patches. I have to do this with designs. I have to do this even in my own job. Like, I have to restart things. And the beautiful thing about starting over, though, is that you're not starting from scratch, so to speak. You're starting from those things that you've already learned, which leads me to another point. Number three, build on your mistakes. So sometimes things don't work out, and you think that you're taking something empty-handed with you, but you're not. You have so much knowledge stored from what worked and what didn't work and what kind of worked. And you're taking that with you as you start on this journey of showcasing yourself as an artist or creative or content creator or whatever title you give yourself. You have this wealth of experience that you can take with you and mold this new thing if you do have to start over. And that's beautiful. You know, it doesn't get, you can't pay for that type of knowledge, in all honesty, right? Number four, there's a season for everything. And gardening has definitely taught me that there is a season for everything. But so has life. Life has also taught me that. I made the mistake of trying to plant spinach in the dead heat of summer. And spinach does not like heat. It's just not one of those things. It will not thrive. It will bolt, which means it will just turn and go to seed. It'll start to produce flowers to survive. And it will produce seeds so that it can, you know, spread its genetics, essentially. And it's just not the season for it. Now, as the days get cooler, spinach will thrive beautifully. And though spinach does not thrive, you can find a substitute for those things. But it just goes to show, you need to be aware of what season you're in to know what you're planting. And I mean that in a literal sense as well as a metaphorical. Sometimes your season is just to sit back and work, or to build content, or to create art, or whatever it is. And then your next season, things will pop out for you. And you will see that all of that work and effort that you put into growing yourself as an artist or as a creator definitely was well worth it, because opportunities are literally dropping at your doorstep. And that was something that I learned. It was something that I learned in undergrad. Well, honestly, a good portion of my schooling. Head down, worked. That's just all I could do. And there just became a time where all of that work, none of it was in vain. I was getting awarded for this thing or that thing, like literally back to back to back. And that couldn't have been made possible if A, I hadn't spent that growth season growing and giving it all that I could, right? And in those moments of you working and then getting rewarded, recognitions will come to you that you can't even imagine. My job currently, outside of course my business, but like my job, which I'm using to thwart me into whatever career I'm planning now, but all of this, like the opportunity came about because I just had my head down and was grinding. I was working really well with the person I'm working with now. When I was in my PhD program, and like literally I came recommended to her, like she was like, oh crap, you know, forgot you graduated. And she reached out to me and we hit it off from there. And so she didn't offer anybody else a job, nothing else like that. It just kind of came pretty much guaranteed, so to speak. And I definitely thank the Lord for that one, because I prayed such a prayer. But I had to spend that season, the previous one with her, literally just worked with her last year, working and being the organizational person that I like to be when it comes to work, for this season right here to come about, right? So understand, you know, where you are. And though sometimes these seasons do hurt, they hurt. I've literally leaving, at least I pray I am, leaving a season of isolation and feeling outcast, so to speak. And if I'm honest, it's been a decompression season where I can kind of let my guard down, work on myself, work on my art, heal from higher ed, and really pump out art that I like. And I will fully admit that I've made art prints that I did not expect to make, especially since I didn't really push out much art when I was in school. I'm probably going to lose track of this, so I apologize. But number five, if you nourish your seed, it will grow. Or nourish your baby, whatever it is. So you got to fertilize it. Back to what I was just talking about with seasons. It's funny how these kind of flow into one another. But like planting, you have to, you've got soil, obviously. But there are amendments that you add that will help enrich the soil when you are planting it. And the more you feed it, well, sometimes it can be counterproductive. And same thing with art, right? Sometimes you can just feed, you can want to do too much. You can buy all the things and not get started or whatnot. But if you are constantly feeding that hunger, then it will grow. And I've noticed, like, yeah, I have tons of art supplies. Some of them given, some of them I've purchased. But like, the more that I feed my creativity, the more that I want to create. And you can never use it up, obviously. So there'll be times where I'm just like, oh, I'm painting. And then my brain will want to switch gears and want to crochet. So then I begin crocheting, and I'm crocheting all of these things. And then I want to switch gears and I want to draw. Like, the more that you are feeding that wonderful creativity, the more that it wants to show itself to you. And granted, everybody doesn't have multiple mediums that they, you know, choose to use. But even if you stick to one thing, you still want to produce more because you have such a satisfaction in seeing your work, you know, completed and wanting to do more. It just feeds the soul. Number six, storms can be beneficial. And I wrote that one before I even realized that it was going to storm this week. We've had some very clear, nice weather. And then I'm assuming tropical storms are like heading our way. But storms can be beneficial. And that just means that difficulty can be beneficial. It helps you to understand, like, how to brace yourself. So you're getting some experiential knowledge kicked in there. I'll use today, for example. Again, my tomatoes. Unfortunately, I did lose a few tomatoes, but I learned spots in my yard that were not unstable. I have a very uneven lawn, but I learned how to brace my tomatoes a little better. We had a storm a week or so ago that completely compromised my little shade hood, and I learned how to brace it better so it would not knock over my vertical towers, because I've had that happen a time or two. I've had to pick up vertical towers for a lot of different reasons and many times, and I'm hope I'm not jinxing myself with this, but because I've had these storms come in, I've learned how to build a better foundation. I've learned how to build better structures that will be able to brace the high winds that we have. And looking at it from a business standpoint, I've had difficulty with customers. I actually this week I had an issue with a customer. Neither one of us were in the wrong or anything like that, but the customer reached out to me because she had gotten a rush job, and USPS did what it does best. It stepped in and interfered. And I've, funny enough, this is a bit of an aside, I've noticed that whenever I have a rush order for a client, a customer, and they order expedited shipping. I do not know how they sense it, but they always, 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 always deliver the package extremely late, whether it's a week or 10 days. I order 2 or 3 day shipping and it never happens. I almost want to tell customers, do not say this is a rush order. Like, we'll work around it some other kind of way, because USPS does not care anything about that. They will literally never send it on time. But anyway, so essentially that happened. She ordered a rush thing. It was supposed to be in there in a few days. It took about 10 days. Actually longer than 10 days. And she was reaching out to me earlier this week, and I was just like, okay, well, or last week, and I was like, okay, well, keep me abreast of the situation. I'm going to try to monitor it the best way I can. I gave her all of what I knew as frequently asked questions, at least from my end, when it comes to shipping. Unfortunately, I don't work for USPS, so I don't have all the answers, but I do have my experiences whenever it comes to delayed packaging. So we worked through that. We tried to troubleshoot the best way that we could. And unfortunately, her package came busted up. And I've had this happen before, where if the mail carrier who is delivering the mail is not careful, they will run over the package. I don't even know how that's possible, but it is. And I think the problem was that they were trying to cover it up. Funny enough, they still delivered it, even though the package received in the worst condition, some of the worst condition I've ever seen. And it made me sad, because these were gifts for her friends. And so I told her that, you know, while this was a storm, but I've dealt with them before, I already knew how to handle this situation a little better. So I try to calm her mind, you know, put her fears to ease and help her get her money back. And also, I'm just going to replace the order and I'm going to send it a different way, because again, but things like this do happen. I've had miscommunications with customers often, and they never feel good. No, but because there's a weakness, I suppose, or I don't want to say a weakness, but an opportunity to grow better as a business owner, you have the opportunity to take this difficulty and learn from it and implement more clear language, I suppose, into your policies, or if you are a person who sells your art. So you have these opportunities. I won't necessarily call them difficulties, but they can be beneficial to how you process as a creative. All right. Number 7, the more you plant, the more you want to plant. And this kind of is in relation to nourishing your seed. I found that I started off with a couple of tomato plants, I want to say. I won't even start with a couple of tomatoes. What have I done? So when I initially started this garden back at, I literally think it was like February 29th. I started with one container of beans. And I was like, my mom was telling me, grow green beans. They're super simple. You'll get a bunch. And that's what I did. I started with green beans. And then I went and I got like 3 more containers, and I want to say I did green beans, cucumbers, tomatoes, maybe, not tomatoes, green bell peppers, or bell peppers. They aren't green. There were a couple more. I'm literally forgetting what they were, what they are, but I started with these things, right? And before I knew it, I've grown to having a very big selection of different container plants. And each day I'm doing something a little differently, or I'm adding a little more to it. And just yesterday, I started to fill a 20-well tower garden, or tower. A tower that I just purchased the other day because I was like, I have to get ready for fall, but I still have summer stuff going, to which those cucumbers that I initially planted, as well as those bell peppers I initially planted, are still going strong. And I think a lot of the things that I originally planted are still going, except for the green beans. I had to pull those up and put down some more. But it has been sparking a lot of like wanting to have a variety in my garden. So how do I have variety without putting in the work? And the same thing with my art. I've had some customers recently reach out for custom orders, and some of like my favorite clients that have used me for quite some time, for years actually. And the more that I work on like special requests for them, the more I want to work on art that I have in my notebook. Now, I fully admit that there are a lot of things in my notebook or my sketchbook that I don't know, I've just been kind of shy about doing. But then there are other things that are just come up on a whim. I've said this before, a digital as well as a physical notebook. And I've been trying to transfer some of those digital things into the physical notebooks just to get them sketched out. But the more that I'm doing patches, right? Because everything, again, has a season. There are times that I just kind of get bored with the process. And then there are times that I'm absolutely rejuvenated and I want to do it all over again. And so, like, lately I've been on a whim just drawing different things and, like, sketching them out and testing them out all in the same day, which is a rarity for me. But because I am already in the process of doing this, I want to create more patches, or I want to create other artworks to put on my shop, or I want to print. Unfortunately, unless I'm printing indoors, I can't print outside, which I prefer doing, but it's just been super humid and super wet these past couple of weeks. So I find that it does help me in my creative process, that when I do have that like creative spurt, just go with it and do as much as you can, because you know the well does run dry on occasion. All right. Number 8, different seeds have different needs. And this was something that the Lord revealed to me some time ago, that, and I think I've said this exact phrasage in another podcast, but I'm finding that some seeds need to be soaked overnight to help them germinate. Some don't need anything at all. Some seeds need to be lightly pressed into the soil, while some need to be buried considerable inches. Some need watering vigorously. Some don't. Some thrive pretty well off of not being watered a lot. Some need a lot of heat. Some need, what is it called? Chill hours. It just depends on the DNA of that seed and the climates that they normally thrive in. And the same thing works for us in our creativity. Some of us just need different needs, have different needs than other creatives, and that's okay. Sometimes I find myself stacking myself up against other people, not trying to be in a covetous way or an intentional way, but just sometimes I look at it and I'm like, crap, I've been doing this for X amount of years. Like, what's going on? And that's just a bad way to do business, to be honest with you. It's just not a sustainable thought process. And I really try to bat those thoughts away. I really try to combat them with like just focusing on what I'm doing. But our creativity also needs different needs. Like, think about crocheting, right? You need hooks. You need hooks and thread or yarn or some kind of stringy bits to use that. But you don't necessarily need that when you're drawing. Now, some people like to thread paint, and I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm not there yet. But things need different nourishments depending on what you're aiming to do. Also, if you don't want to run a corporation as a small business owner, you know, you don't have those needs of having a corporation as an artist versus if you are. So you need to like really focus on your specific needs in the moment to help you grow the way that you need to, right? Number 9, I think. It doesn't matter how you started. So most of my garden I have started from seed, but I also got a lot of help. Well, I won't say a lot, but some of the things I have gotten help on. So for example, I started most of my tomatoes from seed, actually all of them. And then I had a volunteer that came out of nowhere, literally. But then I wanted bigger tomatoes. So over to Lowe's I went this week and I got a bigger tomato plant, or a bush plant that produces bigger tomatoes. And I needed that assistance. Same thing with one of my cucumber plants and an eggplant bush, as well as, I don't know, one or two other things, or some lemongrass. I needed those because I couldn't find seeds for them, or I didn't want to start seeds for them, or whatever the situation was. But it doesn't matter that I got container plants, because all of these things are being grown in the same way. Now, I have had to watch a couple of these things die off, so to speak, because they had to get used to a new environment. Same thing was happening with my eggplant. I grew a couple of eggplants on it and it just was not growing anymore. And so I was just like, you know what? Gotta start from scratch. Gonna cut this thing back, cut off the eggplant before I realized it. More and more leaves have been popping up on it. And it just probably was overburdened and really wanted to like try to survive. So it stopped growing. And I've noticed that with my strawberries and like other things that I've pulled in from outside. Just had to really get used to the new climate that it was in, because it hadn't been tempered for it yet. And the same thing is true for us. It doesn't matter how you start. I started my business selling vintage sheets or something like that. I'm not even really sure. I was selling craft supplies, essentially. And a couple of little handmade things here and there. Some children's clothes that I would make. Since I had a child at the like a young child at the time. And so I would pattern things after them and just make them and sell them as well. But so what? I use all of that knowledge that I had from building that business, and I switched gears when I was just like, you know what? My love is really in drawing and embroidery and sewing. And yeah, design is my passion, obviously. I love making clothes as well, but I haven't found, since I find it difficult to customize that way, like customize online when it comes to people's bodies, I just try to shy away from that. I will do in-person fittings and all of that, because I prefer to do in-person fittings, you know, and I just have to do it online. But to each his own in that regard. But it doesn't matter how you start, right? It doesn't matter if you started drawing with crayons first and then you switch media. So what? The thing is, you pour all of your love and hard work into what you do, and you really enjoy the process. And you make the best art that you can possibly make. I said a lot of ands in that. Number 10. Results are good, but the process is so gratifying. And so, of course, we all really like to see, especially me. I love to see a piece of fruit come off of a bush or a vine or whatever. But I think nothing gets me more than seeing little leaves pop up and enjoying the process of creating the compost and putting it in, finding a container to put it in and putting the seed down, as well as seeing those first little leaves pop up and watching the plant grow from literally nothing or a seed, a tiny little seed in a lot of cases, to a big vining thing that may take up 6-7 feet, however much, right? And I think we're supposed to appreciate the process of art the same way. I love to see a finished picture. Of course I do. I love to see a finished patch. I love to see all of that. But nothing gets me like watching the entire process, looking through my sketchbook, right? Filling those pages and filling them with color, trying to illustrate them digitally and figuring out what colors will work, what things will work, whatever. Importing it into my software and deciding what stitches will work. How am I going to do this? You know, what are the best practices for this? And then finally stitching it out. The stitching it out is just the cherry on the cake. It's such a beautiful process to like go through everything and to see what you've learned, because honestly, the end product is just a culmination of all the knowledge that you've gained from doing the process repeatedly. And to know that you are actually super knowledgeable, super smart, intelligent people, you know what I mean, at your creativity, and you've like engineered this wonderful way of creating what only you can create. And it's, I don't know, it's such a gratifying thing to like sit in that and to know that like I did this. and it's such a beautiful, like, it's just, it's so great. Especially if you're like me and you collect those things that didn't work, and you kind of workshop what didn't work, and you see all of your iterations sitting side by side, and you just look at how it just gets better and better and better. And that's just part of the process. Number 11, share. Others can use what you've got. So I have neighbors. Don't we all? I have neighbors, and we were talking briefly a little while ago. And she was asking me what I was doing. She was like, well, I had something in my hand, and I think I was collecting herbs. I mean, I've been collecting herbs and green beans because I was about to make something. And so she was like, what's in your hand? And I was like, oh, it's just some green beans or something like that. And she was like, I was wondering all what you were growing. And I was like, oh, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so we struck up a conversation about it. And I was like, well, you're more than welcome to have some if I have any left over. And she was like, oh, great. I love fresh stuff. And I was thinking, like, one of the things I would like to do eventually is have a community garden, because I think that's a great thing, so long as like people abide by like the rules, so to speak. But like, I would love to have a community garden, because I think growing your own food is important, and apparently I've always thought that. I just didn't know it. And so has my family, because I come from a line of farmers. But either way, so I was just like, sure, I'll save you something. And then I thought about it. I had just picked some cucumbers and stuff earlier that day. And so I was like, hey, hold on, I've actually got something for you. So I went and grabbed those cucumbers, and actually it was a gherkin and a cucumber, but whatever. But I was just like, you know, I wasn't going to eat them. I have more cucumbers than I can stand. Funny enough, I don't even really eat them, but I've just started eating them. But what a better thing than to share what you have, especially when you have an abundance. I don't think anybody else in my household is going to eat them, so I have to eat them. I started growing them because I wanted to do Asian cucumber salads and some other things. I do like a chopped salad every now and again. I like to actually grill Greek food, so it just works. But that goes the same with creativity. Share what you got. Share it. Post it. And I say this as a person who does not post that much, but that's the purpose of this podcast, right? To push myself to pushing out what I do. But people need your art. People need your words. People need your creativity. You have no idea how many people you make feel seen by just being you and displaying what you have. So share it. I need you to share it because I need it. Number 12, there's beauty in every part of the process. That one goes without saying. I think I expounded on that one a little too much in the preview, in the other point, but there is beauty in every part of the process, even the screw ups, as frustrating as it can be. When you screw up, there's still beauty there because that means that you tried. It means that you spent some of that endless creativity, right? You showed up for not only yourself, not only your creativity, but for other people who may be struggling. I can't say everybody's struggling, but who may be struggling to see themselves in the process. Number 13, when things take off, they do so rapidly. And I've noticed that when my cucumbers, for example, when they started to take off, and when I started stringing them up and letting some air get through them, they started going crazy. Normally, I produce a lot of male flowers. Things about cucumbers, they produce male flowers as well as female flowers. And you have to pollinate them, whether naturally or by yourself. And when they were all clustered together, nothing was happening. I had a bunch of male flowers. It was kind of sucky. But when they started to thrive, right, when they had all of the conditions that they like, they started producing female fruit like nothing I've ever seen. And at any moment, I was having several cucumbers on the vine. Same thing with strawberries. My strawberries, I got a plant from the store, separated it out. And I wasn't feeling like anything was doing. Actually, when I got the plant, it had like one or two little small strawberries, and I ate those immediately. And I left it alone for a while and was just trying to nourish it and all of this. But when it decided to flower, I was counting something like 3 dozen flowers on one particular plant. And I had 3 or 4 of them. Now I have a strawberry tower, and they were producing runners. They're producing fruit. It was being very abundant. And I've noticed that whenever things do take off with your business, they can do so rapidly. Gotta love word of mouth. Gotta love good reviews. But they do so rapidly, and that's a great thing. Or can be a great thing. It can also be an exhausting thing. But that's wonderful that we have those opportunities to really like sustain ourselves with those trajectories. So when things start to fly off the handle or whatnot, but not in a bad sense, just know that that's a culmination of all the things that you were doing that were working. So kudos and good job. All right. Number 14, experiment. That's it. Just experiment. I'm experimenting right now. I have a few items in the, I think it's cucurbit family, whatever that is, like melon, squash, zucchini, cucumbers, stuff like that. And apparently they can be cross-pollinated. So I'm playing Nutty Professor over here because I am trying to cross-pollinate a lemon cucumber with a pickling cucumber just to see what I get, and a zucchini and a cucumber just to see what comes of it. I don't know. It's just an experimentation. Also, my whole garden is an experiment. I wanted to see if I could grow something. I wanted to see if I had a green thumb. Turns out I might. I might have one. I got a bit of a green thumbnail, I suppose. But some things I want to see if I could grow. And some experiments are successful. Some of them are failures. I've been trying to grow eggplant from seed, though I'm about 4 months past when I'm supposed to start them. And every time I have attempted to start them, I've failed. And I don't mean like they just didn't grow. literally has waterlogged, has been trampled on, everything. And they're such tiny seeds, so you really just don't know. And I was trying to get a couple more small eggplant varieties in before it turned cold, because they are not cold vegetables at all. But I mean, it didn't work out. I know now to try again earlier and in different conditions. But you don't know these things until you experiment. And that's how my business honestly started. I didn't know what I could do. I knew that I was digitizing for somebody at one of my old jobs. And I started experimenting with designs. I was like, look, let's kick this up a notch and see what we can do. And that was how I stumbled into Create by Lani. Experimenting. I've experimented with crochet, with freehand crochet, and I think I've come up with some really cool results. And so a lot of the things that have come about is by pure experiment. I didn't have formal knowledge on anything, well, so to speak. I mean, except for like fashion design. But even before I got into school for fashion design, I was designing for myself and creating things from scratch. Just me and my sewing machine on the floor of my bedroom. And so I didn't know how to do any of things. And I take that back. Also art, drawing, I was formally trained in. But everything else has just been a, I feel like doing this. Let's try this. Let's see if it works. Like, what is it going to cost you? So long as you have the materials, I guess it won't cost you anything. But I mean, if you feel like making an expensive experiment, you can do that too. Nothing against it. And my last point that I'll make, because this is almost an hour, expect surprises. So I've had a couple of surprises pop up in the garden, and as well as in my professional and business life, one of which was the tomato plant. So I planted tomatoes in a bucket. I always plant tomatoes in buckets. But I was looking around my lawn, and up close to the home, there was a tomato just skeeting out right there, and I have sand close to my house for some weird reason. And I was weed whacking, and I happened to notice this strange structure. I was like, oh, let me stop, because that looks like a tomato plant. I thought it was something else. I thought it was fool's parsley, and I don't want to mess with that because I think it's toxic. So I kept looking, and I smelled it, and I was like, this smells like a tomato plant. I was like, I'm going to leave it for now. If it's something toxic, I'll just cut it down later, but we're going to see what comes of it. I literally still, to this moment, do not know how that tomato plant got there. I feel like it was a little surprise from the Lord, but it's massive, and there were three, actually, and I just pulled two of them up because they were dying away. I think they weren't getting enough sun. However, it's already starting to produce flowers, and I think it's starting to produce fruit. I didn't plant that. I would not plant a plant that in the yard. I don't know. It's just something about it right now. Secondly, I was wanting to buy a flowering succulent from the store, and I've been looking at them for the longest amount of time. Well, I discovered twice this week that plant. One of them was growing in my driveway. It was absolutely beautiful. Has these beautiful high pink flowers. And then I was looking at my blueberry bush that I look at often, and there was another one that popped up intertwined with my blueberry bush branches, and it was springing up more of them. And I was just like, what in the world? Literally was looking at this plant the other day at Lowe's, and it was $25. And I was just like mind blown that it came out, it came up. And not only is this plant like beautiful, but it's also edible, and it's really good for you, and it's high in omega 3. So I was just like, score, score, score. So I've been eating it with my salads. But like, there are other things that are just popped up out of nowhere, and I have no clue what it is. But same thing with my job. Like I was saying earlier, the lady that I work with recognize game. Like, she was just like, I need a me, but better, a better version of me. And I was like, well, nobody can be a better version of you but you. But she was just like, no, I really like your organizational skills and all of this stuff. And she was like, yeah, somebody else recommended you that I've also worked with, or that we both worked with. And so that was such a surprise, because I was expecting callbacks from other colleges. And much to my other surprise, I did receive callbacks, and not good callbacks, but whatever. But that has happened. And I know I've talked a bunch about, so I won't necessarily repeat it, but like getting contacted by Danielle Brooks, also getting selected for an internship in New York. Like, these were major surprises, and they all came about just because I was working, doing the thing that I loved. And people can tell when you have a passion for the things that you're doing, and so can the earth. It can tell when you have a passion for growing, and it'll pop up little surprises for you before you even realize it. So when you are putting your heart and soul into the things that you are doing, just know that it's going to be recognized, and not necessarily the way that you think it will. So that is my list of things that I've learned from gardening and how they apply or can apply to my business ethic, or how they have applied actually, because a lot of these things I've seen come up in my own, if not like academic profession, then my small business profession. And I cherish each and every one of these things, and I'm pretty sure there's so many other things that I've learned as well, but these are the things that I have like pretty much scripted off of the dome. But anyway, this has been far too long, and if you've stuck out through this entire list, thank you so very much for hearing me out, and I hope you have a wonderful, great day. Until next time, bye.